Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We have a great guest today. In fact, he's here every week. His name is Isaac Mendoza. Isaac has a company, as well as being a production person here at the radio station, has a company called Mike Productions ATL, and you can find him at mikeproductionsatl.com. His name is Isaac Mendoza. Isaac, you're always here, so I hate to welcome you, but welcome to Driven to Business.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit about, Isaac has helped me out a lot and helped a lot of people out with some of the social media marketing education I'm trying to give myself. And Isaac, tell us just a little bit about how you got into that and how you got started with that.
Thank you, Eddie. So our company that I have on the side, we are a video, audio, and social media company. We are affordable. That's what our slogan says. But we started the company about 2 years ago, and it was me and my brother originally who started. We were two brothers, obviously, like most people here are our parents are immigrants. Our parents are legal immigrants that came here to this country. Right. So obviously coming, my parents came for another reason, obviously church things, and we were just happened to be here with them. So then we started to see the opportunity of video and audio. We've always been here in church and very plugged in. And there's lots of things you can learn. And once you're in one place for a long time, I'm sure like a lot of entrepreneurs take their kids to their businesses, and the kids they grow up there. So that's what we started. And then we started seeing this, and then we grew up, and then now I'm studying college. And honestly, I don't think college to me really teaches what it's supposed to teach. You know, like they're teaching you about being an employee rather than actually being somebody in life.
Right.
So that's how we started, and then I motivated my brother, and I told him, look, let's start something, because at the end of the day, I don't want to work for somebody else and all my lifetime. I want to start something for ourselves and for our family.
Well, you guys and your wife, Whitney, who's involved in this as well, you guys have taught me a little bit about particularly Twitter, something I didn't know about, and the idea of how to do that. I'm sometimes people that are of my generation, sometimes I think they look at business and they have this sort of longing and perhaps, and I would even go as far as to say maybe an anticipation that these times we live in are somehow just a blip, and we're going to go back some reason or another. We're going back to the way it was in the 80s and the 90s. And I always tell them that's a bad idea to think like that, because the world we see now is the new normal. This is it. You need to learn to do business right where we are today. And you can bemoan technology. You can bemoan that it's impersonal. It impersonalizes things and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't make any difference. It's what it is. And if you're going to be in business, you had better learn to deal with that. And, you know, and part of the thing is that we're in, I'm learning this, and you and I were talking before the show started. You know, we're in uncertain times, and it's hard to get a real clear picture of where you ought to be going with things. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try, but part of it is, I think, at least in my opinion, is learning to operate in this sort of topsy-turvy, bouncy world and be prepared to make very quick changes as things change. Do you see that?
Yeah. Going back to one thing before I go into this, respond to the answer to the question, something that I heard yesterday, actually, somebody was saying that our words don't have value anymore. And I think the person who said that is right. But I also think that we're developing a new language we don't really realize that the new language also has value.
Right.
Like in the sense of sometimes our words like, you know, when you're making a deal, you shake hands. That doesn't have value. But for example, like he was saying about the hashtags. The hashtag now after, and then the word after has another value that you don't think about that.
Right. I don't have to get used to that. That's something I'm having to come accustomed to, is because people my age will send me an email or something, you know, and even though it's an email only to me, they'll put a hashtag in there, you know. And you're right, the hashtag sort of describes, I don't know, it sort of puts a period on it, and perhaps it reiterates what they said, or it even may add an emotional dimension into it, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think we're now, going back to the question, I think we're now going into an online marketing era. in the sense of everything's going to be online. Everything you do, and the way they're trying to develop is that even if you write a hashtag in one platform, can go into another.
Right.
So everything will be connected, and I think that's what it is. We're all trying to be connected, and no matter where you are.
You know, something that I sometimes do look at, you know, with all this technology and the way we do it now, it's the method has changed. Our methods have changed. And if you don't change with those methods, you're absolutely going to die. You had better learn how to communicate and use the communication methods and the business methods and so forth that we have today. But what people really want out of people hasn't changed all that much. It may be coming from a different angle, but, you know, people still do want to bond with people. They still do want to do business with people they like. They expect good customer service. And whether that's where you're in the place there, or whether you're, if you're selling from a website, whether your website is customer friendly or mobile friendly, that hasn't changed. You've got to serve the customer.
Yeah. And one thing that I would say and recommend to all the businesses out there is be simple. Simple is key.
Right.
No matter if you want to be complex on your website, look, you have the greatest art and everything, I definitely encourage you, but always be simple. Know where anybody can click to buy, know where just one simple button, anybody can go find you and contact you, but always be simple. And that's pretty much what we've done. And I've also encouraged my team. And it's funny because the principles stay of doing business. You always have relationships matter.
Right.
And then also be a leader to your team. And you do talk a lot about this. And how to encourage, motivate your team, and pretty much take them to where you want them to go.
Exactly. And I, to your point about websites being simple, you know, you do go to websites sometimes, some even, Isaac, of large corporations that you think that are paying somebody a lot of money to make that website, and the thing's indecipherable. You go there, and you cannot figure out where to do anything. And you're trying to figure out just how do I contact them? And you go to the contact page, and all you see are a bunch of FAQs, frequently asked questions. And you have to wade through all of that to get down. And it's almost, and you know, I know the thinking is, okay, if I can get them to answer these questions, maybe it'll answer their, you know, if I get them to read all these questions, then perhaps they won't be bothering us with a phone call. But that whole mentality about not wanting customers to bother you with a phone call, it is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely this is what we encourage in our company by doing, is that we have to listen to our customers. And I can't remember who said this quote, but I think it was Tony Robbins says, always listen to the market. Meaning always, no matter what's your product, if you don't listen to what the market is asking for, you're not going to succeed.
And, you know, I think even more in today's world, with particularly when you're, whatever kind of online marketing you're talking about doing, and you and I are going to talk about quite a bit of that, but it's not changed that you have to earn people's right to tell your story. I was thinking on driving in here today about, I read an article about the one remaining Fuller Brush sales guy that's still doing, and he's a delightful guy. I don't know if he's still doing it or not. This is an old article, but a delightful guy, I think in Chicago or somewhere, who's been doing this for 60 years or something like that. But you know, there was a time in America where that kind of marketing actually did work, but you know, the Fuller Brush man also built a relationship with the housewives of that day who would let him in. But you know, if you were to go try that today, number one, I don't know them would open their, number one, there are very few housewives at home to start with, so they're not likely, you're likely to be knocking on doors all day with nobody there. And if you do knock on the door and somebody, man or woman, comes to the door and they don't know you, they're going to be a little suspicious of you. And the minute you pull open a case and tell them you'd like to talk to them about buying some brushes, they're like, why in the world would I buy this from some dude on my front porch when I can go to Amazon? And you know, I mean, the point is, you've got to earn the right to tell the story, but you've got to use methods people appreciate now, not beating on somebody's door. That's just not going
to
work.
Right. And I think also the way of telling a story now is that you have to be able to tell it and how you can incorporate your product into somebody's lifestyle.
Yes.
So I think by you wanting to change the lifestyle of somebody, I think that's how you're going to be successful in doing online marketing, because you're telling the story And also, online marketing is a lot about telling your story behind the scenes of who you really are, what right. you really, your company is about, not your mission statement, but your purpose.
Right. Yeah. Anybody that thinks you have a customer that's going to carefully read your mission statement is nuts. It's not going to happen. You know, I heard a, and I don't remember where I read or heard this. It may have been in a speech. Some guy was talking about the way that, and this was years ago now, talking about the way that that automobile manufacturers did their commercials, and they would do these beautifully produced commercials that they spent literally millions of dollars doing. And then they would bring all the executives in, and they'd go into like a darkened theater, and you know, with great sound system, and everybody's gonna, and then they watch this beautiful work of art car commercial, and they all applaud, and it's all wonderful, without realizing that when car commercials run in somebody's home, it's during a break in a television show where they're probably getting up to go get a Coke or whatever, or go to the restroom or something like that, and or talk to their friends. That's not their most apt time of attention. And if you have these super artsy things that are just become background noise, you can play this beautiful $1 million commercial in this guy's living room, and he's not even aware it's on. And so, you know, it comes down to, did you make that commercial for those executives, or did you make it for the guy that you want to buy a car? And I think even at large companies, people screw that up and get that wrong. But it's no different with online stuff, is it?
I think that's something very interesting you said. I mean, my wife and I, we're the co-founders with my brother, but we also like to watch a lot of television right. shows, because we like to see what's going out there.
Right.
So we watch, we record it on DVR.
Exactly.
Which is... we watch Shark Tank, and I don't know if you've seen in Shark Tank how they incorporate the commercials, in the sense of the host is promoting the commercial, and you don't even think that it is a commercial.
Right.
So you think it's part of the TV show already.
So you're not fast-forwarding past it.
Exactly.
Like a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing about that I wonder about television advertising and the great money that's spent on it. When you know, I watch almost any show I really like. I usually DVR it, and then we time shift it to convenient time for us, but we fast forward through commercials, and I think everybody's doing that. Not just me getting it done. You're listening to Driven to Business. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and we'll be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. More to come with Isaac Mendoza in just a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking with Isaac Mendoza. Isaac is a producer of our program here, Driven to Business, on Biz 1190. And Isaac also is quite an expert in social media marketing and video marketing and things of that sort, a company he has going on. By the way, his website is MikeProductionsATL.com. Go there. That's MikeProductionsATL.com. You can also find a link to it on EddieMayfield.com on a little blog about today's program. Isaac, let's talk a minute about Twitter. I've shared with you before, I'm pretty good, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. I've got a fair amount of experience with search engine optimization and websites and things of that sort, and we do at our company a fair amount of business off that. And I have used some social media advertising to promote mainly things at church, but you've really helped me out a lot in understanding how some of that works. Just talk to us about some of those things.
Yeah, so Twitter's a platform. Obviously, many of you guys out there know about it. There's about almost 27 million people on Twitter. And so how it works is it's kind of like a search engine. The hashtags are a search engine. So if you put a keyword in it, like let's say hashtag business, everything that people are talking about business will appear on the feed. So on your post, whenever you're doing anything that you want it to go out there, you write, let's say, like let's talk about the show. Well, Eddie Mayfield and Isaac Mendoza are discussing hashtag business and hashtag entrepreneurship. So those two keywords will go into the search engine and will appear on the feed about anything that is talking about business and anything that is talking about entrepreneurship, and you will see Eddie's Mayfield tweet in there.
Right. You know, there's a bit of a side benefit to Twitter that I really wasn't aware of until fairly recently. I've noticed, and it's something we're going to incorporate in our company, we just haven't done it yet, that a lot of customer service is now on Twitter. Like, for instance, if you have your website hosted by, I don't know, GoDaddy or somebody.
Right.
One very quick way to contact GoDaddy is to go to their tweet feed and just say, at GoDaddy, and tell them what you will get a quicker response.
Right.
At least my experience has been, you'll get a quicker response off that than you will from email. Do you see that?
That is very true. And I've heard this from several people. They were talking about how back in the days you had a hotline whenever a company wanted more information about what was going on, if they were on trending, like if they're on the news as a headline, let's say like they lost certain million stocks, and then you would call that hotline and that you would get more information about what's going on in the company back in the days. Now it's the same thing, but it's quick instant feedback. So what happens is whenever you send a tweet out, they'll respond because it's convenient for every single company to do that, because the customers want to know more information about what's
right.
going on.
And plus, they're not just answering me usually. That's usually a public answer.
Right.
So it actually, like, you know, if I say, hey, is your email down? Well, if they say, hey, yes, we're having trouble at
right.
Eddie Mayfield, da-da-da-da-da, well, then everybody else, it's a convenient way to say, oh, yeah, hey, they're having some email problems. So they don't. You know, it's a way of getting information.
Right.
Even Delta Airlines, you know, we had an issue where we were in Europe and a Delta flight, through no fault of Delta's, it had a mechanical problem and had to cancel the flight. And in all the confusion, I found one of the quick ways to get an answer from Delta was to just hashtag at, I think it's at Delta, I'm not sure, Delta.com or whatever it is, the tweet handle for Delta, and they answered me almost in 5 minutes. They answered me back
right.
and said, "And you try sending an email to Delta to get an answer in 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. you're probably going to get an answer, and you're also going to stay on hold for 30 minutes if it's a rush day from canceled flights and stuff like that." So I mean, those are sort of a new thing about Twitter that we don't. This almost I don't think in the beginning, I don't think Twitter was even viewed as that being part of it.
And something that I want to mention is that you always want to be professional on all your profiles. So let's say if Eddie Mayfield has a picture taken with his cell phone and is blurred and you can barely see your profile picture, that really speaks a lot about you, because customers, that is a credibility. You're always trying to develop trust with your customers.
Right.
If your company, you have a logo that is not well, it's not finished well, or a half of it is done, or half of it is in the picture on the profile box, and that speaks a lot about your company, that either customers read that as they don't finish the job, or they can read it in many different ways from that.
Isaac, just in a nutshell, as far as selling on Twitter, now, you know, you and I have talked a lot about the direct selling versus indirect selling. I guess Twitter is more of an indirect sales. Would you say that?
I would say that Twitter is more of an indirect sales, because what your customers see through Twitter, in this platform especially, is that they see things behind the scenes, or they see something that you're giving away.
Right.
So it's more of an indirect sale, I would say. And you're also building a relationship with them, because it's kind of like a text. Like, you can send a text to them at any time. They can have the choice of responding or not responding to your text.
Right.
But you're in constant communication with them.
What do you think about the I get people calling me, well, sending me tweets usually, or some cases emails about me employing them to get me a bunch of followers. They basically say, we have ways of getting you 10,000 followers, but I've always been a little leery about that. What's your take?
That's
on
a
it?
Great question. I think you just touched something that a lot of businesses deal with, because sometimes you ask the question, do you want numbers or do you want engagement?
Right.
So the numbers is a reputation builder. As many of you guys know, you could have up to 10 million followers, and some of those are not organic. Some of those are bought. Or would you like a engaged audience that is anything you put out there, they always give you feedback on.
Right.
And then some of those accounts actually don't even work when you buy the followers.
Right. You know, as well, while you were talking, I was thinking about this. We used to do a lot of trade shows. We still do some very specific trade shows. But, you know, the argument in trade shows used to be, I would see different people take different attitudes. One guy would want a lot of traffic in his booth at a trade show. So he will hire some real pretty girl to dance on the desk or something, and or just be giving away tons of things. And the idea is you get a big wad of people into your booth. But the question then is, did you get anything out of that? I mean, we at our company, we've always taken the tact. We would rather have fewer people in the booth, but the ones that are in there are actually interested in what we do. And so we've sort of avoided that type of marketing. I think it's the exact same thing what you're talking about with Twitter.
I think it's just, yeah, you're just right about that, right on the money. And I think it's building that relationship. Once you have those engaged customers, right, then yet again, we go back to be part of their lifestyle. Be something that they can use. We deal a lot with, and we're going through this personally, and I'm speaking from first person because we're coming up with a product, and sometimes you have to know if your company is a B2B, you have to know if your company is a B2C, and you have to know all those things in order to be able to tell your story correctly, no matter if you're with a customer, no matter if you're online. So we're coming with that, and also let your product talk about yourself and anywhere you sell it. It's all about telling the story correctly, really.
I kind of see it, and you've actually helped me a little bit with this, but the best way to do is to integrate things. So in other words, if you're doing blogs, let's say.
Yeah.
Blogs are, and I'm a big proponent of blogs, particularly in a business I'm in, like a technical business. Blogs are very good to get to get people to come there. But, you know, you can incorporate that, and you can tweet about your blogs, and you can you can also do an email about your blogs, and of course you advertise them on websites and things of that sort. But I sort of see all of this as integrated together. I don't know that you can pull out one thing and say, I'm going to stand on that. I don't think you can just say, I'm going to be good at Twitter and build a business. I think you're going to do some other things.
I think you're right about that, but you also have to know where your demographic is.
Right.
So let's say if my demographic is on Instagram, but I'm actually doing all my work on Twitter,
right,
then I'm really wasting time, right, I'm wasting energy, and right, I'm wasting everything pretty much.
Exactly. You're listening to Driven to Business. Let me remind you again, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program, which you want to listen to, has been brought, will be podcast, I should say, on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in just a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Isaac Mendoza. We're talking about online and social media marketing and how to integrate those things. Isaac, during the break, you were talking to me about the idea that in our company, we've had good results in doing blogs and we get a lot of hit. You've had the same thing in your company, but you've done a little better job than I have, I think, about using social media to push those blogs. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, definitely. So what we do, we write a blog. We try to do it either on Thursdays and have a constant date to do that so that our followers and our customers are excited about what we're going to talk about for that, and they're expecting that. So we push it out. We finish, and then we push it out on Twitter, and we push it out on Facebook. And also, just remember again that you have to know where your demographic is. For us, our demographic are teenagers and they're college students, that they either want to own a business or they're working on it on that.
Right.
So that's what we push out on Twitter and Facebook. And we also do Instagram, but Instagram is more about pictures, storytelling.
Right.
Everything's about a picture. And that's what we get. And we get about 400 hits from one single blog.
Right. That's
our average.
That's really good. I don't think I'm getting that many hits. Now, I have a narrower demographic than you're talking about,
right,
because we're looking for electronic motor drives type thing, but we have sold fairly significant orders that initiated from people coming to a blog. So even if you're doing blogs, I'm encouraging anybody, if you're doing blogs, and even though you don't get a lot of hits on that blog, it depends on how broad a business you are. If you're a niche business where not a lot of the population out there is interested in yours. You know, Isaac, we do some radio advertising and other things, and I'm sometimes asked a question about, what do we get directly from it? And you and I have talked about, in today's market, that's a little hard to answer. Now, we try very hard to. I used to try to, if we end up with a new customer, we try to sort of follow that worm back into the hold and see, where do you hear about us or what? Because I want to know what's working. And what I find is that often it's not quite that simple, because they heard about you, they heard a radio ad, then they talked to somebody, and then they were searching on a website and they saw your name pop up. It's all that together prompted them to contact you. And I think that's more common than not, that that's the way it works.
I think that you're definitely right. And I think right now our society, we are very smart people. I think our, you know how back in the days you had people who were very ignorant, but now our society is not ignorant anymore. They're very smart. You can't sell the way you were selling back in the 80s.
No.
Because people don't trust you anymore.
Yeah, I think it's that people, I don't think people are inherently any smarter. I think they become educated is what happened in marketing, because we've all had it shoved at us so long. We sort of, as Malcolm Gladwell has in his books said many times, we have sort of developed in many ways an immunity to it. And part of the job for those of us trying to push our very legitimate business is to get through that, you know, that force field these people have put up, that you really have got to be smart to get through. And here's the deal, you're not trying to cheat anybody, but, you know, you really do have to earn the right to tell your story. That's always been that way. It's just a little harder, perhaps, now, because there's a lot of noise out there that you've got to poke through. And some of these ideas you're talking about are just ways of doing that.
And is all these ideas that I'm talking about, too, are also building credibility.
Right.
That's the number one thing you always want to, no matter where you are, if you're online, if you are person to person, you always are trying to build credibility in order for your customer to believe that you can are capable of doing that job.
Right.
And we were talking about going onto LinkedIn, and I think LinkedIn is the same thing. It's becoming more, LinkedIn has become more of a Facebook, because now lots of people are spamming you and they're trying
to.
So also, you also have to build credibility, and kind of with this show, we definitely push it out on LinkedIn, and people will go and click on that link pretty much.
LinkedIn, you know, as opposed to Facebook, I'll give you my experience with LinkedIn and Facebook, and they're not necessarily, I'm not necessarily right about this. It's just the way we've done it out of ignorance as much as anything else, probably. I have had a lot of good results on, I'm talking about from business, not social, not with friends, but we've had a fair amount of business success, if you put it that way. We like promoting events that are for the general public, like church concerts and I think any kind of a concert. Facebook is a great way to promote that. I've often thought that guys that serve the general public, like I don't know, if you have an air conditioning service company or something like that, I think Facebook advertising could work very well for you, because you can really pick your demographic carefully, and you know, the ads popping up, and you know, you pay some money for this.
Yeah.
But it works pretty good. LinkedIn, at least to me, has been more oriented toward business. Now, we've done some business, again, it's hard to say directly off LinkedIn. We have had people contact us where business has come of that contact from LinkedIn. But one of our ladies we've actually had on the show here, Rebecca, up in New York, has done a really good job with LinkedIn. And she says it's like anything else. You get into it what you put out of it. You got to, if you're going to be active in LinkedIn, you have to invest in that. You can't just show up there once every 6 months and think anything's going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen. You've got to develop relationships. You've got to give beneficial information or a post or help. If some guy is, if you're part of a group and somebody's having a problem, you need to step in and help that guy. Even if that has no direct benefit to you, because other people will see that you stepped up and you're an expert in that field, and that may lead to something. You know, that's the way this all works.
Yeah, and something you touched on is how you know, people review you or business.
Right. Yes.
A lot of that's something that this we could talk about, is about reviewing your business, because now, let's say in the restaurant industry, or let's say if you're in Yelp or you're in any other kind of platform out there, people can actually go back and talk about your business, how good or how bad it was.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how much that hurts, because going back again, is everything's word of mouth, pretty much.
I think it puts the customer, I think it gives a customer a lot more power and control than they ever had before. Because, you know, now, if you, again, to your example of a restaurant, if you annoy a customer or give him bad results or don't handle and he leaves there mad, he may go home, or he may sit in his car out in the parking lot and go on Yelp and just eviscerate you for it. And a lot of people see that. And so when they search for your restaurant, here's a sad thing. They search for your restaurant, and what pops up on the top of Google is his review. Well, you know, this place is terrible. Well, they might just drive on by. They're not going to go in there. You know?
Yeah, and that also like hurts you because you're going back again. It's credibility. You're always trying to build credibility. But with those customer, I mean, the way to handle those customer abuse is reach out to the customer. If it's a legitimate problem, then you show servant leadership right there.
Right.
You treat them as best as you can, and maybe it was one of your employees that had a bad day, and you apologize for the company, not for the employee, but you apologize for the company, and you tell them, how can we keep your business? And that's how you fix that.
And you know, I think eBay kind of set the tone for a lot of this stuff. You know, we buy and sell on eBay at our work, and also on a private level, a lot of people buy and sell on eBay. And we've all gotten more smarter and educated. You know, all of us know on eBay, if you go on there and you're looking to buy something and that guy's got a really low rating, there's no way you're buying anything from that guy. I mean, right off, you're not going to do that. We all know this. And so we are smart about that. So if you intend on selling on eBay, you better guard your reputation.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, treating your customers and all about, I mean, going into another topic we can talk about is, you know, retention, how we deal with retention from leads and turn them into retention going into online marketing. You want to develop that relationship. You want to know more about the customer, what the customer is looking. And going back again, be simple, because the customer only stays in your website for about 10 seconds.
Right.
And from there, if you don't have simple process or you don't have something that attracts them, you're going to lose them in 10 seconds.
And you know what's worked for us? I don't know that it works for everybody. We have, I forget what we call it, but for lack of a better term, instant chat or online support.
Yeah.
And there are some people who don't want to click on that, and that's fine.
Right.
And they will go, you can click and email us, or you can just, here's phone numbers, whatever your fancy is, however you want to contact us.
Right.
But there are people that for a quick question will just click on that thing, and they'll ask you, hey, can I, and you know what we can do from that without being intimidating at all to them, we can say, yes, and would you like some more information? I have a whole paper on that if you'd like to see it, or a drawing. They say, yes, sir, well, yeah, give me your email address. Well, bam. Now,
right.
And we're not, again, this is not sucking somebody in to rip them off. This is helping the former, we're going to do something for this guy that he's going to like. So I'm going to send you some information, and then hopefully he will like that. And now we've got a relationship going, even over the internet, we've got a relationship going.
It's crazy how that happens. Yeah. But also now, 80% of your customers are on mobile.
Yeah.
Mobile is so important now because you got to be mobile friendly. Most of us, I speak for myself, I spend most of the time on my phone other than laptop to upload videos or a project or something.
I think your age, that's something we all have to recognize, that I don't know that's true for guys my age, although it's getting to be more true.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I think one, going back to your online or your website, your platform, you have to have everything mobile friendly.
Yes.
Either it has to be back again. It has to be very simple. How, where to go, where to look for what you're looking for, or with a product or anything, more information, and make it professional.
That is actually something we are in the process of doing right now. Now we're an interesting company. Again, our demographic that buys our equipment and services tends to be a little older than some of the demographic out there. And consequently, we've only, our mobile was a very small part of ours. I do track that, who's what platform people are using coming to our website. And for a while, mobile was a very small percentage, but it is now it's up to about a third now, and it's growing rapidly.
Yeah.
And talking to some other gurus in the field, that is something we have got to do. Plus, people may not know this, but if your website is not mobile friendly and people are searching on a mobile device, you actually get downgraded. Google actually downgrades you. You move down places in the search engine. So that's something, if you're going after people who are mainly going to be using their mobile device, it's could cost you a fair amount of business by not doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
And getting that going. I think we have one more segment to go. I do want to talk to you about video marketing. It's something you do a good job of, and something you guys have been very innovative in. And you, as you know, we did that some time ago, and it really has paid off well for us. And something perhaps people don't think about. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. One more segment to go. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business, talking with Isaac Mendoza. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190, podcasting on eddiemayfield.com and streaming live on biz1190.com. So check us out. Also podcast on iTunes, I should say. Not a lot of time left, Isaac, so we've got to talk fast here. Tell us about video marketing. You've done a good job with that.
Thank you. Yeah, our company just recently, something to share with you, we just closed a deal for one company to do Special Olympics. You know the Special Olympics. They're coming here in Atlanta, and they're doing an after party. So we, by showing our product, we were able to close them in for them to be here in Atlanta. So that's just something to share with you guys. Yeah, our company, we are, yet again, audio, video, and social media. A lot of video, we try, it's all about telling the story on the right. video because everything's visual. And that's where you definitely have to rock the boat right there on video. And we are actually, we do a lot of YouTube, and we are actually do a lot of Periscope. That is becoming complementary of Twitter now. That just
I had never heard of that, Isaac, until you told me about it a couple of weeks ago. Tell just give us a quick, I promise you most people don't know about that. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so Periscope is now, it's complementary to Twitter. You know how Twitter hasn't been able to be sell anything, be profitable. They created a Periscope, and anytime it's a video online stream that you can use, and anytime you use Periscope, it shows up on your Twitter profile, anything you're doing. So let's say you, it's more about telling story. Periscope is about going behind the scenes of anything right. you're doing. So let's say I'm here talking to you guys, and if I Periscope something, I would show how I'm here in the board, and you, it's all about what your customers want to see and who you are, really.
You know, we're a bit of a success story with a video. We produced a couple of years ago a comedy video. Now, we were talking about what could we do. We're sort of a dull business. I don't mean we're dull people, but I mean, you know, when you're talking about real nerdy technical things, if you're not talking to a real nerdy technical person, it's not interesting. So we had to, how could we, and so we decided to make fun of ourselves for being dull and nerdy. So we teamed up with Trip Crosby and his group and Tyler Stanton, and they did came up with a script for us. We sat down and went this whole thing. We actually produced a little comedy video. By the way, you can see it at emainc.net. That's my business website, emainc.net. Just go there, go to the middle of the page, and you'll see a click. You can click and go to the video. It's very funny, especially if you've had any technical type background. But here's the deal. That video has really helped us out in a couple places. In particular, one I can think of, there's a company, one of our major vendors that we were not doing much business with at that time, who they're owned by a company in Japan, and that video actually got seen by somebody in Japan, who thought it was hilarious. Who then kind of pushed it down and circulated all around inside his company in the United States, and in a drive company, you know, the kind of business we're in. And the next thing you know, they're contacting us about doing service and selling their equipment, which has been a very profitable thing for us. And that's just one example. But again, that's this indirect marketing. It's taking yourself. I think you said rock the boat. You do need to kind of rock the boat a little bit and get. You need to separate yourself from the crowd. You can't just be one of everybody else.
Right. And what makes you special? That video has to be able to tell the story of what makes your company special.
Right.
What stands out? And yet again, it's I'm sure you've mentioned this a lot, and I can't correct me if I'm quoting or wrong, but they say that a picture is more worth than 1,000 words.
Right.
So anything that you do with video is going to tell more than anything you would ever write.
And you know, humor is a great sales tool. It's true that not everybody can do it.
Right.
But, you know, even whether it's politicians or if you can inject a bit of humor, particularly a self-depreciating humor, where you can sort of laugh at yourself a little bit, and I don't mean humor where you're picking on somebody else, but self-depreciating humor, that actually puts customers at ease around you, and they're a little less suspicious of you because you're not pretending to be such a hot shot, you know, and right. you're making fun of yourself. And that's really what we did in our video. We decided to make fun. Now, I know there are other videos. There are, you know, we've talked many times here, marketing is information. Information is marketing. I mean, it could just be a video is a memorable way to put information out there. I mean,
it could be a testimonial video, like from your past customers that you could also, what they loved about your company, how they treated your customer service. It's all about that, why they are back and doing business with you back again.
You know, I saw a video you guys had done of like a shopping type environment thing, and it showed, it really just showed what a pleasant place this would be to be in, and you know, just showing the various, and I think it's maybe been even for internal consumption you did it, I'm not sure, but just when I was watching it, it gives you just this emotional sense of well-being about that place. And, you know, you and I have talked before, a lot of sales and marketing, like it or don't like it, it is emotional. It's what do people feel like after they see that?
I've heard someone quoted, his name is Don Barton, he said, most of the people don't remember only 6% of what you tell them.
Right.
But they remember 100% of how you made them feel.
Exactly.
So video, any kind of platform you use, they're always going to remember how you made them feel. Your customers are always going to remember how you made them feel.
And you know, even if they can't, and I find myself this way, you know, you go to a restaurant and you leave there quite happy. But if somebody asks you, what'd you really like about it? You almost have to invent something. I don't know. The food was pretty good. Was it the best food you ever had? I don't think so, but it was really good, and I had a good time there. But you left there feeling good, so you want to go back there because, again, that's exactly right.
Right.
And look, that applies even in the world of high tech.
Very much.
You know, people wanted, do we all need an Apple iPhone? Heck no. Why do we have one? I mean, you could certainly...
We love the way we feel with it.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And, we feel very technological savvy. So like if you have a phone, you feel very savvy that you know how to code, you know how to do all this stuff. But most of us, we really don't. We just feel that way.
Right. You know, what we've talked about today, we started off talking about the idea of that we are in this is the new normal, and people that want to do business in today's environment had better get on board with today's environment. Doesn't mean that you don't do good customer service. It doesn't mean that's very required.
You always keep that,
technology does not excuse that. You can't have a great website and be a crummy company. It doesn't work like that. But at the same time,
I hope not.
You know, if you can be the best at whatever you do, like your company could be the best video production company in the world, but if nobody knows about you, who's going to use you? They never heard of you. So how are they going to find you and use you? So we do have to, by the way, before we get through, but remember, it's MikeProductionsATL.com. Again, they have a link to Isaac and his company on EddieMayfield.com. Just go there and go to the blog page, and you'll find that there. But you know, we were talking about this whole new normal deal, the idea that we have to do that, and then how does our business fit into that? And then, you know, we talked about, you gave some great ideas about Twitter and the
Facebook. Facebook is something I want to touch real quick about Facebook, is that Facebook is more of a social life rather than actually business or anything. So people, that's another way to tell your story back again, incorporating to your lifestyle, other people's lifestyle. They have to, the people in Facebook go on your profile because they know you're a trustable person, and that's more of a social thing.
Right.
They know that anything you say in there, it's because you keep your word and you like that whatever the business you're doing with anybody. So it's more of a social thing on Facebook. Anything you share, it's more of social. And I would say that there's more of a retention customer on Facebook because of they know you're social live and they know who you are pretty much.
Right. And as I had mentioned earlier, you can buy ads on Facebook, and they do work, and you can buy ads on Twitter. I haven't done that, but you can do that and all that. Isaac, thanks for being on the program today. Very informative.
Thank you, Eddie. It's a pleasure.
And you and I are here almost every week, as Isaac is a producer of the program here on Driven to Business. By the way, we are here every Saturday at 11 o'clock. And so tune in. Catch a podcast if you missed part of today's program on EddieMayfield.com and on iTunes. I am Eddie Mayfield. This is Driven to Business. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.